From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Our message to people in the caravan is simple. Turn around. You will not be allowed to come into the United States of America illegally. We will not allow it.
That's Vice President Mike Pence. He spoke earlier today at a rally for Republican candidates in Oakland, Michigan. Happy Monday. This is your trusty producer, Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Guess what? I'm going to be behind this Shure microphone all week. You're going to have to put up with me all week. Tony is out, and I am honored to be here and entrusted with this program. You're listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, yet a third illegal migrant caravan has disparted despite warnings from the White House. It's amazing what's going on at the border. We're going to talk about that. It's this scene that serves as the backdrop in other violence across the country as we're just 8 days away from the midterm elections. In the scene in Pittsburgh, the Family Research Council absolutely extends condolences to the families and friends of the victims of Saturday's shooting at the Tree of Life congregation in Pittsburgh. Authorities have identified the 11 people killed in Saturday's mass shooting. The ages of the victims range from 54 to 97. And yet, with a string of special election victories and economic gains, is the GOP poised to defy the odds, despite what some are calling a blue wave, overcoming the historical patterns that suggest the White House's party loses in the midterms? In just a moment, we'll talk with Rachel Alexander, former Arizona Assistant AG and now senior editor of The Stream and a contributor at Town Hall. And a letter to the legislative auditor and Louisiana Attorney General is calling for an investigation into whether records from abortion facilities and certain state agencies containing possible evidence of suspected child abuse have been destroyed. The case could have national implications. We'll talk with former Louisiana State Senator and candidate for Louisiana's Secretary of State, A.G. Crow, a little later in the show. And another one of these stories. A Florida school district has been accused of violating the constitutional rights of two physical education teachers after they were ordered to allow a girl who identifies as a boy to share a locker room and shower facilities with biological boys. And guess what? The teachers who said, hey, I'm not going to do that, they're the ones that are getting reprimanded. Later in the program, we'll talk with Richard Mast. He's the senior attorney with the Liberty Council. And of course, we'll take your calls later in the show. All of this great content is at TonyPerkins.com. You can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins, and you can follow me at R. Jones Reports. Well, we're hearing just a little while ago, roughly 5,200 U.S. troops will be deploying to the southern border in response to the migrant caravan pushing north through Mexico. U.S. officials have reported some of the troops will be deploying as early as tomorrow. And we're just 8 days from the midterms. Arizona is one of those toss-up elections. Some blame violence on President Trump's rhetoric, which is just outrageous. With us now is a senior editor of The Stream and a contributor with Town Hall, Rachel Alexander. Rachel, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I know you track all of this news, and if you're like me, it wears you out some days, doesn't it? It's just so much to keep up with. And tell us what you're seeing. You're on the ground in Arizona. Tell us first about the caravan and what impact is that having on the folks around you and how they're thinking about the elections and whatnot.
You know, here in Arizona, where we're pretty conservative, it has the effect of making more conservatives show up and vote. They like to see a crackdown. They, you know, if under Obama, you know, we wouldn't have seen the president responding by sending these troops to the border. So I think it's going to overall help candidates in Arizona and, you know, defeat Kyrsten Sinema, the far left Democrat who's running for Senate here.
So you think some of these issues, you know, we saw what happened, the tragic events at the synagogue in Pittsburgh, and we are seeing this caravan, and we're seeing people call for violence. And isn't it ironic or just warped thinking that folks want to put this blame on President Trump for the violence going on in the country?
Well, you could turn around and say the same silly things right back at them. You could say, well, the media is, you know, so discriminatory against Jews. You know, they're always pro-Palestinian, you know, and propping up people like Louis Farrakhan, that you could say the Democrats are causing the violence. And I'm not saying that's true, but that's how invalid their comparison is.
Right. Now, you've written an article in The Stream, the train wreck that is Arizona Senate candidate Kyrsten Sinema, which, you know, kind of loops into the mainstream media. There's a lot of things that are going on out there that the mainstream media just will not report on. And some of it is what you've reported on. Tell us about it.
Yeah. What's been going on with her is her far left past is coming out. She's tried to portray herself as a moderate in the last couple of years, and her TV ads that she's running are on things, neutral things like fixing health care. It sounds very innocuous. But the reality is she has a terrible history. A lot of us in Arizona remember it. And, you know, thank goodness there are some conservative news media outlets that are getting the message out, because the mainstream media is mostly ignoring it.
Yeah, and some of what we're seeing is as well as she invited witches, I guess, back in March of 2003 to something.
Yeah, she invited this prominent covenant of feminist witches in Arizona to, and they were known as Pagan Cluster, to celebrate International Women's Day and to protest the war. And she told them to wear colorful clothing and come ready to dance, twirl, and stay in touch with your inner creativity and with the earth.
Yeah, and what I'm seeing, you know, what we need to really embrace is how important these midterms are and how important it is to get out and vote your values. We don't endorse candidates here on Washington Watch, but it is important to vote your values. And how do you think, you know, how do you think the electorate are going to do? You feeling like they're motivated on both sides probably?
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. They're motivated on both sides. You know, you've got the caravan motivating people for, you know, both different reasons. The Democrats are motivated because, you know, they're like, we can't be turning the caravan back. And then the Republicans are motivated because, you know, they're thinking we don't want to let the caravan in. And so just that one issue right there is motivating both parties.
Now, you were a former assistant attorney general in Arizona. Tell us, give us an inside look. What are some of these border states looking at? I mean, that's got to be pretty overwhelming when you see these caravans, thousands of people approaching the southern border. You know, Arizona and Texas, California are on the front line here. They're in that zone. And now we're hearing yet a third caravan has launched out. Give us an inside look. What are the officials in these border states doing right now? What are they talking about?
Well, they're definitely fearful of the caravan, but they're careful not to, you know, be too heated with their rhetoric. We all saw what happened to Sheriff Joe Arpaio, my former boss, the Maricopa County Attorney, Andrew Thomas. When they tried to crack down on illegal immigration, the left came after them and utterly destroyed them. So people are a little more cautious. But I will tell you this, when I was at the Maricopa County Attorney's Office, we did a study of crime and illegal immigrants. And we discovered, contrary to media reports, that illegal immigrants commit crimes at a higher rate than the general population. One that I remember off the top of my head is DUIs. They commit about 30% more DUIs than the regular population.
So do you think the average person out there is really seeing through this veneer of the mainstream media and doing the research on their own and doing their research and investigation on the candidates and what issues are important? What are you seeing on the ground there? Do you see folks really taking responsibility, is how I'd like to put it? It's the electorate's responsibility to find out the information, find out the issues that really impact their community. You know, they say politics is local. Do you see people doing that?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's because of the rise of social media and all these online publications. You know, people are just around here, they get their news from Facebook. And they're no longer, you know, reading the Arizona Republic, which keeps shrinking and shrinking every year. You know, before that was the biased media. It still is. But nobody reads it anymore.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the interesting things, I see folks are really engaged in conversation. You know, I think maybe the caravan, at least for conservatives, the caravan might have awoken a spirit within people to say, you know what, that has the potential to be really dangerous for the country. And that's not to say, it's important to put this in perspective. And as believers, a lot of people are believers that listen to this radio program, to be sensitive to your neighbor. And we all have been an immigrant at some point in our life. That's not what this conversation is about. It's not the United States. United States is a nation of immigrants. And as we've said before, we should be proud of the fact that we live in a country where people want to come and live. And yet it's important to do it legally. And a lot of times we don't hear about the people that are really doing it legally, do we?
We don't. And, you know, whatever happened to caring about your neighbor who could get murdered by an illegal immigrant? You know, they keep trying to emphasize that this caravan is full of women and children, you know, about half of it. But what about the other half? And, you know, what about the fact that illegal immigrants do commit more crimes than the general population? Those are valid concerns as well, and I don't see them reported anywhere in the media. No one ever puts out our study that we did in Maricopa County about that rate.
Yeah, and you're knee-deep in mainstream media that covers issues that the mainstream media doesn't report. You're with the stream, you do stories for Town Hall, so you get to see, you know, a different perspective like I do. I've committed a majority of my life as a conservative working in media, but with the tools that I had from secular mainstream media. And you've also been covering the censorship of conservatives by tech giants. Do you think that's tamping down, or is it getting worse?
I think it's getting worse, but I think people are also getting more vocal and more noisy, and they're starting to make decisions with their feet by leaving Facebook and going to platforms like Gab that don't have the crackdowns on conservative speech.
Mm. Yeah, and I think people are getting smarter about it, too. They're aware of it. For the longest time, I think folks, oh, Facebook, Twitter, they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't censor me. But now we have so much evidence that it has been happening, and they're getting smarter about it, too, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, people are. But what scares me is the fact that so many regular conservatives are now being censored. My last article about this, you know, I covered how the Alan West Facebook page, renamed the Great American Republic, that got taken down, and they had 1 million subscribers, and they were pretty mainstream.
Yeah, that's a great point. Hey, Rachel, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us on Washington Watch. We appreciate your insights.
You're welcome. God bless.
All right. God bless you, too. Rachel Alexander, she's the senior editor of The Stream. Well, coming up next, a former Louisiana state lawmaker questions whether evidence is being destroyed in sexual assault cases that protects statutory rapists and is calling for an investigation. In just a moment, we'll talk with A.G. Crow. He's got the story. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. Make sure you go there and check it out. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you interested in helping our nation move toward a brighter future? Join the millions who are gathering to pray, vote, and stand for our country, and hear from some of America's most influential Christian political leaders about what we can do to help move our country in the right direction. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. On Sunday, November 4th, tune in at 4 p.m. Mountain Time to hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Kirsten Hawkins, and others who will be broadcasting from Karis Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. To host the event via webcast with your friends, watch it at TheEvent2018.com. Again, visit theevent2018.com for more information and to tune in to the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, known as SOCE, claiming that they are fraudulent, ineffective, and harmful. But are they? LGBT activists claim that sexual orientation is immutable and can't be changed by therapy or counseling. They also claim that people who attempt to change their sexual orientation end up more depressed and suicidal. As it turns out, studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are in fact very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. For a thorough analysis of all the major studies done on the effectiveness of SOCE, visit frc.org/SOCE. Again, that's frc.org/SOCE.
Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council here, inviting you to join LaJuana and me, General Jerry Boykin, and Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann on FRC's D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit on March the 28th through the 31st. With the Trump Hotel as home base, your experience will include private dinners at the Museum of the Bible and on Capitol Hill, the monuments, briefings from national leaders, and pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us through America's past, present, and future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage.
Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading abortion supplier and has hailed itself as the champion of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
You are listening to Washington Watch. It's Monday. Happy Monday. Russ Jones here sitting in for Tony Perkins. Well, a former Louisiana state senator says there is a growing concern that corroborating evidence of suspected child sex abuse may have been destroyed by the Louisiana Department of Health without having permission, from the Secretary of State's office to legally destroy and dispose such records. Now, folks, this is an important story. It's actually a story that could have national ramifications. Joining us now is A.G. Crow. He's a former Louisiana state senator and candidate for Louisiana Secretary of State, and he's a pro-life advocate. A.G., welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, it's good to be with you, Russ. And another claim is that Tony Perkins was my first seatmate when I was in the House of Representatives and one of the original encouragers for me to run for office.
Well, yes, that's a great factoid. And so you've been in the foxhole and the trenches together on these issues, and just help our listeners understand the nuggets of this that you're concerned about and what really needs to be done about it.
Well, in the time that we have, I'll try to get right to the point, but in case I miss details, the website is www.agcrowe.com, A-G-C-R-O-W-E.com. And what we've discovered here, and by the way, I'm a candidate, as you mentioned, for Secretary of State, and my background is records management. And so when some activists here in Louisiana, some very, very pro-life, strong activists brought this to my attention, I understood immediately what they were talking about. Nothing in no public record can be destroyed without the written permission of the Secretary of State's office. And it seems like the more I dig in, the more we're finding that records have been destroyed without oversight, without approval. And this is one of the major primary responsibilities of the Secretary of State's office. And certainly no state agency has the right to destroy what could be corroborating evidence for obviously a crime that was committed. If you have records coming from, say, an abortion clinic of underage girls, 12 or 13-year-olds, getting abortions, I mean, there's a crime committed there. And so those records should never be destroyed as long as the crime is not solved or as long as the person that was a victim is alive. And so we actually have, knowingly or unknowingly, wittingly or unwittingly, the state of Louisiana, the Department of Health, cooperating or at least cooperating with trying to destroy records that could wind up destroying any chance of any type of legal ramification for these children that have been abused. And yes, it is a potentially dynamic story that could spread nationwide because the data from these the same sources that are fed to the CDC means it's all skewed. It's all wrong data because they're not giving us the right information. And so we're trying to get to the bottom of it over here.
And so essentially, and correct me if I'm wrong, and you said whether known or unknown, but ultimately the end result is protecting organizations like Planned Parenthood and the pro-abortion agenda. Is that right?
And protecting the criminal and not taking care of the victim. The indispensable need for cooperating evidence as proof that allegations of sex abuse assault are actually true is crucial to the case of the victim. And if they're destroying that, then you have deprived that victim of corroborating evidence by any state agency. I mean, it's just not, it just blows my mind that this is actually happening. And I never would have discovered it had I not been in the records management business, had I not been in this race for Secretary of State. This is something that's a very, very, very disturbing situation. And hopefully, as we have sent this out and asked the Attorney General of Louisiana, as well as the legislative auditor, to look into this, we're hoping that they will pick up on this and make sure that this is investigated fully.
Now, I've seen couple of the letters that you have seen to the agencies you've mentioned. Have you heard anything?
Yes, I did. I did get a standard response back from the Secretary of State's office, and it was as if they didn't even read my request because I wasn't asking for personal patient identifiable information. I was simply asking for what we call a certificate of destruction form. They call it an SSARC 930 form. All I was looking for was show me the proof that these records were destroyed or not destroyed, and that's it. But the phone letter I got back from the attorney from the Secretary of State's office was just simply a put-off buying time and running around without answering the question. And so I sent another letter back asking specifically for just the forms showing that these records were or were not destroyed. The fact is, it's state law that this particular form, a certificate of destruction form, has to be kept permanently. So if those are not there or if they have been destroyed, then we have a major problem on our hands.
And these are important forms that need to be completed. And what you're saying is these forms that seek permission have not been submitted. Is that right?
It's sort of like in the private sector. Before any of our clients' records are to be destroyed, we have to have a written permission from our clients in the private sector to destroy those records. And that list of records is identified on that what we call a certificate of form to approval to destroy. Well, once they're destroyed, that same list is available without patient identifiable information, but that certificate of destruction is to be required. It's by law required to be kept for permanently. And so if they don't have a proof of a certificate of destruction of these forms, what they call an SSARC 930 form, then something has gone awry. There's no oversight. There's no accountability. Who's going to get in trouble? Who's not going to get in trouble? Who's watching what's going on? It's the Secretary of State's responsibility to oversee this. And it's just not happening.
And one of the things you said is no abused child in Louisiana should be abused twice, first by the abuser and then by the state agency that destroyed those documents. AG, we're out of time. Thank you so much. Would you please keep us up to date on how this is going?
I sure will. And for the full story and the press media release, it's on agpro.com, my website, and I invite your listeners to be aware of this. Keep this in your prayers, and let's get this information out there so we can protect our children.
All right. Thank you so much, A.G. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. A.G. Crow, he's a former Louisiana state senator, candidate for Louisiana Secretary of State, and a major pro-life advocate. Well, coming up next, a Florida middle school has decided to punish a physical education teacher who refused to allow a girl who identifies as a boy to share locker room and shower facilities with biological boys. You can't make this up. Coming up next, Richard Mast of Liberty Counsel. You're listening to Washington Watch.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join Luana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
Is Planned Parenthood a champion for women? In reality, Planned Parenthood is the nation's leading killer of unborn children. Despite this, they have been hailing themselves as the voice of women for decades. But nothing could be further from the truth. Sadly, this organization has been caught repeatedly violating the law and violating women, from aiding and abetting sex traffickers, covering up child sexual abuse, and selling the remains of aborted baby parts, to ignoring the disastrous effects that abortion has on women's physical and mental health. From its racist eugenic roots to the targeting of vulnerable communities today, their scandals continue to pile up. Planned Parenthood's current motto is care, no matter what. A more fitting motto would be profit, no matter what. For more information on how Planned Parenthood is not pro-woman, visit frc.org/Planned Parenthood. Again, that's frc.org/Planned Parenthood.
Well, if you're driving down the road and tuning in, flipping on that dial, you've tuned in to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. I'm producer Rush Jones. You believe this 40-year media veteran, 40 years, hard to imagine how fast the time is going. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins, who is the president of the Family Research Council. Well, two teachers in middle school in Florida strongly objected to letting a girl used the facilities because neither the boys nor the parents had been given prior warning. This is in Ritchie, Florida. This is one of those stories, folks, that you're going to want to hear about, because we're hearing more and more about these stories and why it's so critical to have organizations like Liberty Counsel. With us now is Richard Mast, senior attorney on the case with Liberty Counsel. Richard, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, sir. Glad to be here.
Well, give us the breakdown, the middle school involved and all of the dynamics and what you are doing in the representation of your client.
Sure. So we represent two teachers, a female teacher and a male teacher. Both are PE teachers at Chasco Middle School. They have been, they also have been victimized by this plan that has been adopted by administrators. Really, it relates back to one school psychologist who views herself as a champion for LGBT rights, but in so doing, she's running roughshod over the rights of others, other students, over the rights of other teachers. They have adopted a policy behind the scenes, and that policy requires the use of false gender pronouns. It requires unfettered bathroom access for students who are confused about their gender, who have gender dysphoria. They just don't like the fact that they're a boy or a girl. And so rather than allowing these kids to or referring them to their parents or allowing them to explore these issues without violating the rights of others, they're mandating that the rights of others to privacy especially be violated. And so that's what we have here. We had the male PE teacher. He was ordered to continue to supervise the open lockers. And I've seen pictures of these lockers. There's no privacy at all. They have open showers. And he's ordered to continue supervising this facility while the girl has unfettered access. And if in their mind she's a boy, then she has the right to do everything else that the boys are allowed to do, including shower, including changing, including undressing. And that's just a risk that no male PE teacher should be forced to take.
Richard, you know what? I remember seventh grade. Unfortunately, I remember seventh grade in middle school and PE and having to go in the locker room with all these other very awkward, uncomfortable boys. I can't even imagine putting the dynamic on top of that very awkward scenario. I think you would probably agree. You know,
absolutely.
Young boys trying to figure themselves out and what it means and body parts and, you know, all of these things and the awkwardness of taking showers in public. And now you put in this dynamic to a scenario that's already very awkward. I can't even imagine how these two teachers could even be in the wrong for objecting.
Well, and for trying to protect the rights of the other students. And, you know, there is a solution for this. It's not the solution of the radical ideologues, which is everyone has to agree that a girl who either thinks or says she's a boy actually is a boy. That's not the solution. The solution is a private facility for this girl. No one's going to make her go into the girls' restroom if she's uncomfortable with that. I get that. But at the same time, you cannot violate the rights of the majority. And America has long recognized sex-based privacy provisions. And even Ruth Bader Ginsburg says that sex-based privacy provisions are sometimes not just allowed, they're required by the law.
Now, I understand, I don't know if both teachers, but one of the teachers was transferred the teacher to another school for, quote unquote, not doing your job in the locker room, as if that's going to help. Right? I mean, that doesn't solve anything.
He has been threatened with that possibility. He has not been transferred. We sent a letter and slowed down the process. We also obtained emails from administrators saying that they should put him out, and that will send a message that we will, and here's the quote, "I think it sends a clear message that we will not tolerate his behavior." And so they are trying to punish the person who's sticking up for kids, who's sticking up for his own rights. We've just seen what happened to Justice Kavanaugh, and you're telling me that a man has to go and supervise a girl changing in the locker room or taking showers in the locker room? What kind of precedent does that set?
Oh, that is an excellent point. I mean, if that doesn't put it in perspective, I don't think folks will ultimately see, you know, it puts so many people in jeopardy, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And it boils down to this. We have school administrators substituting their judgment for parents. We have a lack of parental consent for clubs at this school where the Gay Straight Alliance is referring kids to third-party organizations that are pro-LGBT, that are providing drugs, birth control to kids, you know, STD medicine and sex counseling. And they have youth groups of kids ages 13 to what they call youth, 22-year-olds. And that's a big problem when you don't have parental permission, you don't have background checks, all of these things going on and verified by extensive research. And if the school administrators would just require parental consent for these sort of activities, require parental consent before sending kids into the opposite sex restrooms, a lot of problems would be solved.
Richard, thanks so much for joining us on Washington Watch. We'll circle back and see how this is going, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you so much for your work. Richard Mass, senior attorney on the case with Liberty Counsel. Let's talk about this. 866-372-7234. We're going to go to the phone lines when we come back. 866-372-7234. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and you are listening to Washington Watch.
Are you ready to vote? Which candidates are actually speaking up for you and your values? Choosing the right candidate to vote for can be difficult with all the media spin and political rhetoric. Each candidate will either be a part of the problem or part of the solution when it comes to preserving and protecting your religious freedom, family values, and the sanctity of human life. You can be a part of the solution and make your voice heard by pledging to pray, vote, and stand for your values. FRC Action will be traveling across the country on our Values Bus to meet values voters like you this fall. We want to keep you up to date on the latest inside news from the campaign trail and help to inform you about each candidate's positions on our country's most vital issues. Go to valuesbesttour.com for our tour dates, voter guides, and so much more. Be a part of the movement. Pledge to pray, vote, and stand for your values. Again, go to valuesbesttour.com and be a part of the movement.
Tony Perkins here, president of the Family Research Council, inviting you to join LaJuana and me, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, on FRC's first ever D.C. Christian Heritage Tour and Summit in Washington, D.C. on March the 28th through the 31st, 2019. Washington is the epicenter of American politics and the free world. It's also a place that will inspire your faith and your patriotism. With the five-star Trump International Hotel as home base, your experience will include a tour and dinner at the Museum of the Bible, a private tour of the Capitol, dinner on Capitol Hill, renowned monuments, briefings from national leaders, and, pending approval, a White House briefing. Journey with us as we explore God's providence in America's past, His hand in the present, and His heart for America's future. For more information, visit frc.org/DC Heritage. Again, that's frc.org/DC Heritage for more information about the Christian Heritage Tour and Summit.
On Sunday, November 4th, join millions of Americans who are pledging to pray, vote, and stand for our nation. The event is a nationwide simulcast for the sake of America. Hear from Governor Mike Huckabee, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, and others broadcasting from Caris Bible College. The 90-minute broadcast will encourage Americans to pray, vote, and stand for their values in a country that is moving in the right direction. Go to TheEvent2018.com for more information and to tune into the webcast.
Should people be allowed to question their feelings? If a person expresses feelings of same-sex attraction, shouldn't they be allowed to seek professional help if they don't want these feelings? In a country such as ours, the answer to these questions should be a no-brainer. Incredibly, some liberal states have banned sexual orientation change efforts, claiming they are ineffective and harmful. But are they? Studies have shown that sexual orientation change efforts are very effective in helping people overcome unwanted same-sex attractions. To find out more, visit frc.org/SOCE.
Round and third, heading towards home. Russ Jones here, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. You know, guess what I got to do this weekend? You heard me talk about this before. I got to put on the uniform. I'm a first lieutenant in the Mississippi State Guard, public affairs officer. It's the second in a series of what's called IET, initial entry training, and it's all part of what I have to do in my officer training, part of being in the Mississippi State Guard. Reported Friday night, Camp Shelby in the southern part of Mississippi. Checked in to a barracks. You know, it's exactly what you picture it to be. A big, long room full of bunk beds. Shared latrine. Had formations, trainings. Do you ever think about if we got attacked, if our grid went down? You know that little handy-dandy GPS you've got in your phone? Guess what, friends? It ain't working. It's not going to work. If things go south, what are you going to do? Do you have a plan? Do you have friends you can get in touch with some way? Because your phone's not going to work. I almost said you got friends you can call. That's exactly right. You won't be calling. What happens if things go down, whether it be a disaster of some kind or natural slash God caused? Some of the things we got trained on this weekend. And I'm in the mess hall, the chow hall. And I hear this, LT. So you Russ Jones? And I turn around, I smile, I sure am. This enlisted soldier said, I thought that was you. I recognized your voice. And I said, you did? You recognized my voice? He said, I did. I listened to Washington Watch. And I've heard you guest host. You ready for this? And he said, I'm here. Because I heard your voice. And I heard you talk about what it meant to be in the Guard. Wow. You know what I learned? He's the fourth soldier in the Mississippi State Guard that's there because he heard me talking about it. When I put on that uniform, it is one of the most powerful things I have ever known. And it's powerful because of my faith, my belief in Jesus and Yeshua and what it means biblically to put on the armor of God. And when I put on that uniform, I'm putting on a similar kind of armor and a uniform that represents something so sacred. And what I would do to respond to the call of duty. And I met another soldier. He flies from another state once a month to drill with the Mississippi State Guard. He flies. Unbelievable. And the people that give and are ready, I got to tell you, if I got a call and was called to deploy and to serve, it would be an honor. And I finally get it. I get it. I understand it. And there's organizations like the Mississippi State Guard across the country who, for people who aren't ready to take off the uniform, or maybe they want to put it on for the very first time. And guess what just came in the mail? My dress blues. Dress blues. I got all the bling on there. I tried it on. Man, I'm looking like Sean Connery from Red October. Whew. And the pride and the honor. And to know that we're living in a time and culture of people who have disregard for our military, disregard for our first responders, disregard for our law enforcement it makes me grieve in my spirit. I'd love to hear from folks that know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what I was doing at 0500 yesterday? I was rolling out of a bunk bed in the barracks, putting on a uniform, being ready for information at 0600. In hearing the morning bugle call, the reveille, and watching that sun rise over the trees at Camp Shelby, knowing that I was there because I wanted to be there and get to serve with a bunch of men and women who were there for the very same reason. A united call, a united effort. I'm Russ Jones. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm sitting in for Tony Perkins. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Hi, Iris. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I spoke to you several weeks ago, but I wanted to tell you that, first of all, I wanted to say that our message this weekend from our associate pastor was on living our life in the light of eternity, and that's what you're doing, and that's what American Family Radio does, and that's what Family Research Council does. They and you all live in the light of eternity. You make a difference. Right. And I want to thank you for that. That's my heart's cry for America. Some of us are soldiers in the spirit and others are soldiers that defend our land. And I pray for y'all every single day. But because I am a Messianic Jew, my heart was so broken over the events and in Pennsylvania that I felt someone had punched me in the stomach. And yes. America grieves, but Israel grieves, and Jewish people and those that are grafted in like yourself that love our Judeo-Christian roots in this country have to say, like they did after the Holocaust, never again, that we mm-hmm. can't allow this evil to happen again. And my prayer now is, too, that there will not be people that are watching and doing the same thing, counterfeiters that are trying to do it for their moment of glory. That is one thing that we need to pray against. And having done all, we have to stand and see the salvation of God. But I want to say that I know God's heart is grieved today, as he is with all evil.
Amen.
But he mm-hmm. is grieved because Israel and the Jewish people are the apple of his eyes. Thank you, and God bless you for all you do.
Oh, God bless you too, Iris. And, Reverend Revlin, he's the president of Israel, had something to say about that shooting at the Jewish synagogue in Pennsylvania, and just sit back a minute and listen to what the president of Israel had to say about that. Roll it.
The people of Israel and the entire Jewish people stands with you. In your time of pain, in your time of loss, we are with you. One people, one family, unbreakable, eternal. We must say loud and clear, this was an attack of anti-Semitism. Our brothers and sisters, friends and family were murdered because they were Jews. We cannot, we must not, and we will not ignore it or tolerate it.
And I heard that comment, and in relation to serving, it's all about protecting religious freedoms, protecting people, protecting the freedoms that so many have fought for. And in Israel, their young people, they automatically have to serve in the military. It's not a long time. I think the women are 2 years, the men are 3 years. But when you go to Israel, there is such a pride of nation. And I sometimes wonder if we miss that here in the United States. I wonder what our nation would look like, and we hear about millennials and whatnot. What would our nation look like if we had that kind of required service to learn about chain of command, to learn about the importance of authority, the importance about doing what you're ordered to do, frankly? I often wonder that. But we do need to pray for this nation and pray for just the insanity that seems to be wreaking havoc over our land. Let's go to Scott in Michigan. Hi, Scott. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you so much for taking my call. In regards to your conversation earlier about gender confusion, what would keep a teacher from saying that, hey, my name is now not Steve, but it's Sue, and I want to go into the women's or the teenager's locker room? Is that something that the school has thought about, the reverse course of just the confusion by students, but also confusion by teachers? And how would that play an effect?
Scott, I actually addressed that. It's been several weeks ago when there was a situation,
sure.
I believe it was in North Kansas City, about restrooms and faculty restrooms. And I actually called the school, and they they didn't like my question, Scott. I asked that question. I said, what would you do if a male student, or one of your faculty members wanted to identify differently? Would you allow them into the women's faculty restroom or the men's faculty? They didn't like that question. It's Scott, and that's a great question. It's absolutely a double standard. I don't know about you. I don't think we'd be seeing that happen.
No, and I'm sure if they go the route of allowing children to have confusion with their gender identity, it's only going to happen a matter of time before the teachers decide to pull that stunt as well.
Yeah. Scott, thank you so much. Hope you're having a great Monday.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Yeah, I learned some chants. I learned, boy, if the PC culture would have been around, post-World War II chant, which was really interesting, that just kind of set, you know, it set you in a time and a place, just as I was getting ready to come on radio, in the faint in the background, I could hear the ice cream truck. You have any of those in your neighborhood? I heard the popsicle truck is going down the block. I haven't heard that in ages, and it instantly put me in a time and a place where things seemed to be so simpler. Maybe they weren't. Maybe that's just my own hopeful, wishful thinking. But where people were more civil with one another, and there weren't so many confusing kind of ideals and things going on. Of course, you know, I was born in 1960 on the heels of the Vietnam War, and I know that was very complicated and tragic and lots of confusion around that, and then, you know, the flags burning in the streets and whatnot. That's been going on for quite some time, but it just, I heard that popsicle truck going down the street and the music playing over and over and over again, and remember when we used to rush to that, and it did put me in a place, you know, after being on drill duty this weekend and then hearing that popsicle truck, it's just kind of surreal for me here today as we're taking a look at all the things that are going on in our nation and the violence and this idea of blaming President Trump on what's happening it's just not right. I don't see it. I don't see it. And we've seen rhetoric from the left that seems to be okay. We've seen rhetoric from candidates and folks calling for violence. We have a sociology teacher at the University of Mississippi at Ole Miss that has tweeted out, hey, you need to go poke your finger in salads and people and disparaging about white people. But yet it's almost embraced. It's been, we just see this season, and we've been warned about it, haven't we? When wrong is right and right is wrong. I'd love to hear from you, especially if we've had any former military. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And I don't know what you think, but I'm pleased to see that some troops have been deployed to the southern border. I hope they're not needed, but I think that communicates that this administration is serious. It's not that folks aren't welcome here. It's just you need to come here legally. And I am thankful that we have an administration and a president that's going to hold the line, that's going to protect the zone, and it's going to be in place and ready in case folks are needed. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. And we'll be following up on that and keeping you informed tomorrow. I'm going to be with you all week. So if you've got any news tips, send me a note. You can go to tonyperkins.com. Send me a note. And friends, from Isaiah, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries indeed, I will see you tomorrow. You've been listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Be well.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit tonyperkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.